You've lived a great life and done well for yourself. But what mark will you leave on the world? How will you inspire future generations? Stan Miller and Katie Beth Hand have helped thousands of people answer exactly those questions. If you've ever wondered, what will be my legacy? You're in the right place. Welcome to the Your Life, Your Legacy podcast. Now, here are your hosts, Stan and Katie Beth.
Welcome back to the Your Life, Your Legacy podcast with your hosts, Stan Miller and Katie Beth Hand. I want to start our interview today with a quote. The quote is, "I want to continue living so I can continue giving." To talk to us about those words and the incredible woman who said them, we are so excited to welcome Jerry Barker. Jerry, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
So before we dive right in and talk through a bunch of the different things we want to hit on today, I was hoping you could take just a few minutes and give us a little bit of information on your parents, their passion about art, and kind of how all of these things set them up to eventually become philanthropists in the art world. So tell us a little bit about their backstory.
Thanks so much, Katie Beth. Well, we have to go back to World War II, and my father was one of five brothers, and they had a family grocery business, and all four of his older brothers were in the Army. And my father had to drop out of high school so he could run the family grocery business. My father was a young, good-looking guy, and he went out a couple years later on a date with a couple, another guy and a couple sophisticated women from New York. And it was a blind date, and he met my mother. And my mother was from Long Beach, Long Island. She was attending college at Bryan College, and they fell in love. And that began a 64-year marriage, ended when they both passed a few years ago. My father met his father-in-law, who shared with him a piece of tangible advertising. It was a ruler that had the bus company that he owned printed on it. And he said to my father, "This is the future of advertising, tangible products that carry a message." And my father took that and started to run with the idea of having items printed with logos on them before anybody else in the country was doing it. And that began Barker's Specialty Company. And Barker's Specialty grew. My mom and dad worked together and worked very hard. And as they grew the business, they were successful. And they eventually started wintering in Florida. And while they were in Florida in the 1960s, they found out about animation art, the art that was used to create movies and cartoons at that time. What would happen at the studios, Disney, Hanna-Barbera, Warner Brothers, is animators would paint on celluloid images, and these images would then be filmed, and it would take 24 of them to make 1 second of a cartoon. And there was a collector's market for this, and my parents started collecting. So they were part of the original collectors of animation art. And to make a long story short, they started the business of Barker Animation Art Galleries. Along the way, they also started collecting antique toys and memorabilia, and they collected so much that everything was overwhelming. The house was overwhelmed. Their apartment in Florida was overwhelmed. They had a warehouse that was overwhelmed. And all of a sudden, in Cheshire, Connecticut, a farm was available for sale. And my father was a visionary, and he literally bought the farm so he could have a place to create Barker Animation Art Gallery and the Barker Character Comic and Cartoon Museum. And it just so happened that this is adjacent to Barker Specialty Company, the promotional marketing business. So we actually have an 8-acre complex here housing both businesses. Well, I might be going ahead on this, but my father loved collecting. And he had this thought that if people collected, they would be putting their time to good use. And he really thought that many people stopped collecting. Now, when I was a kid, I was a stamp collector, I was a coin collector, I was a baseball card collector. But he realized that as time went on, a lot of people stopped collecting. So one of his first gifts to the community was to sort of encourage people to collect. And he did this by having this museum, which showed collections of lunchboxes, antique toys, Pez dispensers, dolls. I mean, it's over 80,000 items. And that was the beginning. And interestingly enough, and this is a great story, one of my favorites, is that my father, who dropped out of high school to be able to do all these things, was actually given a honorary doctorate by a local college, local university. And that was a very proud moment in his life, walking in the procession as Dr. Barker.
Yes, I saw that on the website and thought that that was so special. So your parents have a really unique backstory of kind of how they got into the interest of that building. I love that it's not just art. It's just kind of collecting in general and the memories and the passion that they have for that. But they didn't stop there. They've kind of taken beyond just the art gallery and the museum. They've kind of taken this passion for art and collecting and turned it into some different acts of philanthropy. So tell us a little bit about what got them into giving. Were you raised in a household where your parents, you know, taught you how to give and that you should give? And what made them, they've done so many cool things for your community. Talk to us just a little bit about that.
Thank you so much. Yeah, you know, we didn't come from a lot of money. It wasn't like old wealth that we had so much money. But for whatever reason, my parents got tremendous pleasure out of giving. One of my mother's favorite quotes was, "I wish I had all the money in the world so I could give it all away." And there's a reason why people get pleasure out of giving. You know, it makes them feel good. And that's actually why in our business, we get pleasure out of seeing people satisfied and happy when they order or buy anything from us. We get more happiness out of giving than we do out of receiving. As a matter of fact, and I share this little anecdote, once I had to say to my mother, "Mom, when somebody gives you a gift, you have to accept it. You know the pleasure you get out of giving? You shouldn't deny people that pleasure when they want to give you something." And so we're all like that. So over time, my parents, we never say no to anybody. Actually, I'll share this. When my mother died, I started doing something. Whenever I would see somebody on the street that was maybe homeless or asking for a donation or money, I would actually get on my knees, look that person in the eye, hand them a $20 bill and say, "This is from Gloria Barker. She died 5 years ago and she would want you to have that." And I have to say, Katie Beth, when that person looks at me and says, "Thank you, Gloria," it brings my mother to life to me. So, you know, that pleasure out of giving is just, I don't know if it's innate or if it was brought from my parents' parents, but it's certainly part of our DNA.
That's wonderful. And they've done a lot kind of in the community and for different groups as well. I know they've really focused in on, they've done a lot for first responders and just a whole bunch of different groups. How did they find these different groups where they donate all of this really cool art? Let's see, there was a 9/11 anniversary where they donated some art and they've just done a ton. So tell us a little bit about some of those things.
Thank you. Yes. My parents loved artwork and they love the joy that they get out of seeing it every day. So they believe that other people feel the same way. And people do. So they started an event called Art from the Heart, where they would just donate to, and they did this in Florida, to many organizations. And they worked with the local chamber, and they sent out emails to all the, or letters to all the different organizations asking them to come and get a special piece of art for them to use in whatever facility they have. They've gone to a number of hospitals, particularly children's hospitals, and have donated a large amount of this colorful, bright, fun animation art to decorate their places. Whenever any letters come into us or phone calls or emails asking for a donation for a sponsorship or for a special gift or for a donation for a raffle, we're always willing to say yes and have something for people to share. It's our way of, and you know, I want to share this. It's our way of giving. I don't like to use the expression giving back because I've always felt that that term sort of says that you're doing it out of some obligation or you took something. It's just pure giving from the heart and wanting to share a passion, share success, share happiness.
Absolutely. And that's what we love to encourage our listeners to do, is to think about. So for most of our listeners, they probably don't have access to all of these incredible collections and all of this art, but all of us have something in our sphere of influence that we can give. Maybe it's financial, maybe it's art, maybe it's our time, but we really like to encourage our listeners and want them to be inspired by this story to make them kind of think outside the box. I'm sure when your parents got started being collectors back in the day, they never envisioned that it would turn into all of these different philanthropic projects that they had, but it spiraled out of that. And so for those of you listening, I hope that you're inspired by the story that Jerry's telling about his parents and just can really think through, what is it that you have to give? Maybe it's not art, but there is something that you have that you can give. I have stolen all of his time. Stan, I will turn the microphone over to you for a minute.
I'm going to keep following up a little bit on this line that you're on already, because I want to hear a little bit more about some of the different gifts your parents made. Maybe highlight a couple of the more interesting ones.
Yeah, first, there have been so many. And I just need to comment on Katie's point, because everybody has a gift to give. And, you know, that gift could be a smile. That gift could be looking someone in the eye and recognizing them and asking how they are. It's just so important. But once again, for those who like to give, they get more pleasure out of giving than they do out of getting. But to my parents' case, yes, there was a celebration in our state of the anniversary of the state police. And this is the police are very important in state police. It's a very worthwhile organization. And they created a special commemorative piece of art and gave many copies of this away as a way of recognizing this wonderful group. In terms of donations, we never say no to anybody asking for a local gift or a local raffle prize. In terms of money, my parents were generous to a number of hospitals, a number of organizations. So yeah, you know, they love to have the opportunity to make others happy.
So I'm curious, I want to explore this idea of the impact that generosity can have. And I've got several questions relating to that. And my first is, I'd like to get a sense of the impact that you personally have witnessed on the power of these acts of generosity through, for example, the police or firemen or some of these other groups, because these are guys generally that you don't think of as being really into art, right? I mean, I typically don't think of firemen as guys that might get all excited about art, but I'd be curious to hear what impact the gift has made on the guys that got it, that received the gift.
Yeah, people are very appreciative. People are thankful, they're grateful. Their offices are decorated with the artwork. And it's art is something that you look at every day and you get a feeling from it. And when it's celebrating something that's special or important, it brightens your day. And that's why my parents loved art. As a matter of fact, when we started the museum, my parents did not charge any admission for the museum. They actually said they wanted to be free for everybody. And of course, we had expenses associated with it, and we had docents to give tours. It actually, after about 10 years, one day I said to my father, I said, Dad, I think we have to start charging, because we're giving it away. And sometimes when you give something away, tickets to a museum, people don't ascribe value to it. So what we started to do was charge $3 admission to the museum, but we gave away thousands of tickets for free. And all of a sudden our membership increased and people started coming much more readily. So it is a funny dynamic, but yes, we've seen the impact. We've seen when we give it raffle prizes and donations and people spend money, that money accrues to the organizations and they're very grateful for it.
That's an interesting insight, but I want to talk about another kind of impact. I don't know you very well. I don't know about your family or your, the circle of people that you're close to, but I would really be curious to get a sense of what kind of impact these acts of generosity have had on younger generation family members in your family.
So I have three wonderful children. I have a lovely wife. And I think about my daughter Olivia, and I'll never forget the time she was 3 years old. We went to the park, and there was a girl from her school that was handicapped and sitting in the sandbox with her mother. And there were all her other girlfriends on the swings. And Olivia went right to the girl in the sandbox because she learned to care about others. And I have to share with you, my children have all learned from myself and my wife and from their grandparents that they get joy out of giving and never want to see anybody suffering. So yeah, I think that philanthropy does grow. I'm part of some good-sized organizations that focus on legacy giving and focusing on reminding people how important it is for future generations to provide for future generations. And I think for someone like myself, I have a grandchild now, it makes me even reflect further on what it means to ensure that the future is bright and a kind place for the next generations. But yeah, I think it is contagious.
Your adult children now, are you seeing them adopt their own models, their own strategies for giving?
That's such an insightful question, and I never really thought about it in terms of how they're all different. But yes, I see my daughter who own home organizing business in Florida, and when people give to her and she's cleaning out their closets and they're giving the clothes and all the stuff, she's immediately bringing it to shelters or to Goodwill, and she gets pleasure out of doing that. And I think about my son, who's a musician and plays guitar, and how much he enjoys playing for other people and bringing a smile to their face. And then my other son, who's a management consultant with Deloitte, he's part of organizations where he's always trying to, promote positivity, and he's happy to share any benefits with others as well.
But Jerry, the one, I've been an estate planning attorney for quite a long time now, and one of the, I would say, the most consistent theme that I've discovered in my experience with clients is that the clients that are the most unhappy, whether they're wealthy or not wealthy, the clients that are the most unhappy are the clients that are the least generous. And the corollary to that is perfect. It is absolutely certain in my experience that the people that I know, the clients that I've worked with, and even, friends, family, whatever, but just in my experience of working with clients, the clients that are the happiest, and I'm saying this is true regardless of wealth. I mean, you don't have to be wealthy to be generous. The clients that are the most generous are, without any exception, the happiest. And so it really connects me to the theme that you were talking about at the very beginning of our conversation about this idea that somewhere baked into the human DNA is this need to be generous. It's like we were built, whoever made us to be generous. And when we are aligned with that and live that out, it's our best guarantee of having our best life, our happiest life. And so your parents certainly figured that out, and your parents, were obviously a powerful influence in your life, because now here they've been gone for years and you're continuing to carry out their vision, and I'm hearing the good news that your children have also recognized that or living it out as well. So quite a story you guys have.
Dan, I am so blown away by what you just said that I never really thought about this, and you see it from a unique perspective as a lawyer and estate planner. But happiness with those who give, I'm so excited right now because I'm thinking about this life and legacy committee that I'm on. I can't wait to bring this idea. We've never actually talked about that you know, that happier people are ones that are giving. What a great just credo, great thought. I love it. Man, I'm stoked.
Yeah, it's not just a theory. It's not just a theory. It is, in my experience, it has long since become a proven fact of just the way the universe is constructed. It's just the way it is.
Yeah. And once again, I don't know why. Sometimes I wonder, you know, I could never steal and go to sleep at night. I could never owe somebody money and go to sleep at night. And yet there's so many people who do and are able to. I sometimes wonder, like, why are they able to? But, you know, it's just different, maybe different. I don't know. You have a different perspective. You probably a better perspective than I have. But I'm very happy the way I am. And as I say, I sleep very well at night. I sleep like a baby. I toss and turn and cry all night.
So one other question. And so what's coming next? What have you got planned?
That's actually a great question, because my parents are gone. The museum is their legacy, and I want to keep it alive. I just brought a bunch of people over, and I actually said to them, and I thanked them. I said, thank you for taking the time to come over here, because your presence brings my parents' presence to me. It reminds me of them. It just gives me warmth. And my children feel the same way, and my brothers and sisters feel the same way too. And we want to keep this legacy going. It is an investment. But we want to preserve this for the future. So we're looking at different ways of maintaining the museum for the future. We know it brings a lot of joy to people. And interestingly, we're finding out now that for adults with Alzheimer's or dementia, it's rekindling their spirits. And that brings a lot of pleasure to us as well.
Go ahead.
Well, I don't want to let go of that too quickly, because I'm curious, just like take a second, you know, this is a real insight. So are you finding that people that, you know, they're like living in like, you know, assisted living facilities or care facilities where, you know, where there is an Alzheimer's, you know, or dementia diagnosis, how are you engaging people with those kind of diagnoses in interacting with the museum?
Yeah, so we actually invite these organizations to come to the museum. But quite frankly, the museum right now is crowded and somewhat small. And we want to make it a little larger and more handicap accessible than it is now. But yes, nothing makes us happier than when a grandparent comes with their grandchildren and they share their experiences. And when that grandparent is sharing that, hey, I was a young kid once. I had a lunchbox that went to school. I played with these toys. This was my favorite toy. There was an episode of the Today Show where Dylan Dreyer came here from New York. And it was a wonderful episode. And to see the smile on her face when she found Shira, the doll that she had when she was a kid, it is just remarkable. And we all have that spark. As I like to say, my dad was pretty smart. Most people had a happy childhood, and these toys and memorabilia rekindle that wonder, that innocence, that fun time, the reminder of our brothers and sisters, of old friends, of our parents who, for many of us, are no longer with us, that this museum is, as we call it, the Museum of Memories. And it's a legacy and an investment of our family to make people happy. And we're thrilled that people come from all over the country to see it.
Love it.
I do too. I love that too. Before we run out of time, I do want to just touch on this for all of our listeners, because it really touched my heart when I read it. In another interview, you talked about the fact that your dad always made it mandatory to put your mom's name first on everything. And you said it was a love like no other, almost hitting 70 years of marriage. Do you think that having this type of passion project and also serving and giving together as well helped really foster that healthy marriage?
Wow. Wow. That is a thought that, you know, first I have to share with you, my mother was an amazing woman. She was bright. She was fun. She cared about people so much. You know, in our company, we have so many employees that are here 30, 40, 50 years. And I attribute that all to my mother's how much she cared about people and would look them in the eye and have conversations. So she was just an amazing woman. And yes, my dad loved her dearly and respected her tremendously. And everything in his life was, it's Gloria and Herb, it's Gloria and Herb. And, you know, Katie Beth, I will have to reflect a little more on your insight because I haven't thought about it, but it was a beautiful love story. And they're buried together in a combined, like a mausoleum in Florida. And they had a good life. And I'm happy that they were both able to live to 89, 91.
What a blessing I'm sure that was for you and for your younger generation family members as well to really get time to know them. So an incredible story. For all of our listeners, thank you so much for joining us. We hope this podcast will inspire you to use whatever gifting you have to get out there and make the world a better place. This has been the Your Life, Your Legacy podcast with your hosts, Stan Miller and Katie Beth Hand. Our guest today was Jerry Barker discussing the legacy of philanthropy created by his parents, Herb and Gloria. For more information about their story or to find out more about Baker Animation and Art Gallery, you can visit bakeranimation.com. Jerry, thank you again so much for joining us.
Thank you, Stan. Thank you, Katie Beth.
Thanks for listening to the Your Life, Your Legacy podcast with Stan Miller and Katie Beth Hand. If you enjoyed the show, please rate, review, and subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. To find out more about Stan and Katie Beth, go to PinnacleLegacyLaw.com. You can also find links in the show notes.